Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is out there.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about God empowering us to be able to stand in His presence blameless with great joy. So let's read Jude verses 24 and 25 again together. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Now over the last several broadcasts, we've been examining verses 24 and 25, and I've been going over just how God keeps us from stumbling and how God is able to make us stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy, and just how all this works out in our lives. And over these last broadcasts, I've been discussing the inescapable reality that even though we are saved, we also still sin, and that it is our dual status of being simultaneously righteous and sinful that shows us just how Christ is able to keep us from stumbling and make us blameless. As I've told you before, since it is a fact that we are still sinful after salvation, the issue here then is not one of being sinless, but of being righteous in God's sight. Of course, the first question that arises is how can I be righteous if I'm still sinful? And that's a very good question. Doesn't being righteous automatically assume that we are sinless? Well, if we're talking about anything else, then the answer would be yes. But since we are talking about the glorious miracle of salvation, the answer is no. Every religion and philosophy on earth teaches that man has to be righteous in order to go to heaven. God's requirement for heaven in all the major religions and philosophies that exist is that every person who goes to heaven must be perfectly righteous and continuously righteous. And we all agree that no sin can enter into heaven. So, since that is true, no sinner, therefore, can go to heaven unless that sinner is made sinless. That unrighteous man must be made righteous. That wicked man must be made pure. It is at this point that biblical Christianity differs from every other religion and philosophy on earth. All the religions and philosophies of man except for biblical Christianity teach that since man has to be righteous to go to heaven, then that man has to go through a long, elaborate, lifelong process of transformation, improvement, and change that are designed to make that unrighteous man to be righteous. This long, elaborate process includes rituals and ceremonies and sacraments and deeds and works and actions that, when carried out, will make the sinful man to be sinless and will make the unrighteous man to be righteous. At least that is what these religions and philosophies say they will do. Hinduism, for example, realizes that this process is so enormous and elaborate that it could well take several lifetimes to accomplish it, and so they include reincarnation in their religion to allow for a man to go through this purification process as many times as necessary and in as many lifetimes as necessary until they can be good enough to reach a state of nirvana or heaven. Mormons don't believe in reincarnation, but they do teach that Almighty God was once a man and that He successfully went through this process and is now a God. Therefore, it is only logical to the good Mormon that each man can follow in the footsteps of that made-up God and go through this purification, and when finished, he too can be a God. Muslims believe that even though they pray five times every day and go on pilgrimages to Mecca once in their lifetime and fast during Ramadan, that Allah can still send them to hell. So they are forced into a position of having to kill themselves in a legally declared jihad, which is the only sure way that a Muslim can be righteous enough to deserve heaven, according to the Quran. Secular humanism, which is the official state-sponsored religion of the United States government and the American public school system, teaches that everyone is already born good. Everyone is born equal. It's just that some are better than others and some are more equal than others. And so through education and indoctrination, and by taking money from those who earn it and giving it to those who do not earn it, we can make men to be righteous, and we can create a great society where all men are equal and where love and peace and harmony abounds. Of course, instead of giving us this utopian pipe dream, instead of making one human being righteous, secular humanism is giving gifts to the world like Nazism, communism, fascism, and socialism, which in just 100 years has caused the subjugation and murder of almost 200 million human beings. And far from making anyone righteous, humanism has brought about more inhuman barbarity and cruelty that ancient pagans could only dream about. It was this same dilemma of man becoming righteous enough to deserve heaven through his own efforts and his own works that compelled some religious people to fabricate a place called purgatory, which is the final stop in their lifelong process of being made righteous, which begins at infant baptism and involves elaborate prayers, the rite of penance, keeping church sacraments in order for the individual to be good enough to go to heaven. And then there's biblical Christianity, which alone teaches what the Bible declares to be true about being made righteous. So all the religions and philosophies on earth except biblical Christianity teach that if a man will just try harder, if he will simply push more, if he will work longer, pray more, fast more often, engage his mind more often, if he will follow their teachings and engage himself in their rituals, and if he will just quit sinning, then he could become righteous enough to qualify to go to heaven. But the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the Living God makes some very powerful statements that categorically refute every single attempt by every other religion and philosophy on earth, and exposes their efforts to make a man to be righteous as a fraud and a scam and a lie. And then this very same Bible makes one of the most fantastic claims that has ever been made by any book on earth. The Bible makes the claim that not only is no man on earth righteous, but the Bible teaches that no man on earth could ever become righteous by and through his own power. The Bible clearly teaches that we are not born good, but that every man, woman, and child on earth is born real bad, and they're born sinful and depraved. In fact, the Bible declares that every human on earth is shapen and formed in sin and iniquity in his mother's womb, and that at the very moment of conception, every human on earth is infused with the very same sin nature of Adam. But in addition to that, the Bible teaches that every human on earth is declared to be personally guilty of the very sin of Adam, and is in fact judged guilty of that sin by a holy and righteous God before he is ever born. The Bible goes on to teach that in this fallen state, no man is good, no man is righteous, not a single one. The Bible says that no man in his lost condition seeks after God, that no man looks to God on his own, and the Bible teaches that the fallen human depravity of man is so pervasive that if left to himself, not a single human being on earth would ever turn to God. In the Bible, God uses words like dead, blind, deaf, unable, separated, orphan, alien, stranger, to describe lost man's relationship to God. In describing unsaved man's condition, God put it like this in Genesis 6 verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now notice how God himself framed the description of lost man. God says here that the wickedness of lost man was great, that it was huge, that it was big, that it was all pervasive. God says that the wickedness of man had then and has today a very powerful potential for unimaginable wickedness. God said that not a few of the thoughts of man, but every single imagination of the thoughts of his heart was not just evil, but only evil continually. Truly, this describes a pathetic, depraved place of utter lostness. Now here's the problem. Most people who live on earth today do not believe what I just read to you. they may believe that some people fit that description here in Genesis 6, but they reasoned within themselves that all people could not possibly be that bad. Most people on earth have bought into the unbiblical teaching that all men are born basically good, and that somewhere along the way bad external forces caused these otherwise good people to go bad. And this is the predominant view of mankind in the world today, both in and out of the church. This view is almost universally believed and taught in our secular media, in our schools and government, and in almost all major corporations. Otherwise, internally good people are turned into bad people by something that happens to them externally. They believe and teach that all people, even those people who end up being bad, are born good internally. That is, they have a good heart. They're nice people. They have noble intentions. They are basically good with a few minor flaws that they need to work on. The lost, unregenerate world teaches that the reason that some of these good people end up being like Charles Manson or Adolf Hitler or a pedophile is that something external happens to them that turns them at some point of their life and turns these good people into being bad people. That external event could be a bad father who beat them, or a bad mother who humiliated them, or a traumatic event like a death of someone they loved, or some sort of suffering. And because that external event happened to them, these otherwise good people became bad. So their badness, their wickedness, is not really their own wickedness. It is the result of something bad happening to them externally, and so the logic goes, it's really not their fault. The world says that these people are not evil. No, no, the world teaches that these people are good, who have been made to be evil by external circumstances beyond their control. So in reality, the world categorically disagrees with the Bible, and they say that these people are not wicked sinners, but they call them victims who are sick. So the world teaches that we are righteous on the inside and are made unrighteous by what happens to us on the outside. And this logic goes to the heart of the truth about how anyone is made righteous. Because if it is true that people are born internally good or righteous and that they are made evil or unrighteous only by external circumstances, then the way to get people to be righteous is by controlling their external circumstances. Therefore, the lost, unsaved world teaches that people make themselves righteous by controlling and changing, modifying and improving their own external surroundings and circumstances. So the world teaches that people are unrighteous because of what others do to them, and they are made righteous by what they do for themselves. So the world says that man does need a Savior, but just believe that the Savior is themselves. But the Bible teaches just the opposite. The Bible teaches that people are born internally bad, and that they are internally corrupt and sinful from the very moment of conception. And because of this internal disease called sin, they are personally unrighteous. They are personally guilty before God, and by virtue of their own personal unrighteousness and sin, they are separated from God, and they are in hostile rebellion toward God, and they are, in fact, lost sinners. The Bible then goes on to teach that, unlike the world, that man is unable to make himself righteous no matter what he does for himself. And it is an external event, Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection and sinless life, that is able to make these evil and sinful people to be righteous. So, it's not what these people can do for themselves that makes them righteous. No, the Bible says it is what Jesus Christ alone gloriously does for them by grace alone, through faith alone, that will make anybody to be righteous. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.